The reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Certain elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, "Mortal, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and placed their iniquity as a stumbling block before them. Shall I let myself be consulted by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, any of those of the house of Israel who take their idols into their hearts and place their iniquity as a stumbling block before them, and yet come to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer those who come with the multitude of their idols, in order that I may take hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, all of whom are estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For any of those of the house of Israel, or the aliens who reside in Israel, who separate themselves from me, taking their idols into their hearts and placing their iniquity as a stumbling block before them, and yet come to a prophet to inquire of me by him, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. I will set my face against them. I will make them a sign and a byword and cut them off from the midst of my people. And you shall know that I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Sometimes you lead from behind. For a few years, I taught at the Berkshire Institute for Christian Studies. And once a semester, I'd take my class, it was usually only 4 to 6 students, out to a nearby trailhead for the Appalachian Trail. We'd take a hike together and have class on the shores of Upper Goose Pond. I had done group hikes before. One time we'd had more than 20 of us from 2 different churches head out, and then we'd had 2 different groups, 2 different paces. But this day, I thought we'd all stay together until Megan began gasping for air. After crossing the footbridge over the Massachusetts Turnpike, some of you have seen it, the trail climbed for about a half a mile very steeply. After all that, it got much easier, but the hill was a serious obstacle to overcome. And when I asked Megan what the matter was about, she said, "I have exercise-induced asthma." I said, "Oh." "And now you're telling me this." She said, "I didn't want to spoil it for everyone else." The irony was, Megan was far away the best student in the class. She was, as you might expect, quite embarrassed to have had this happen to her. But all the other students had gone ahead. And she said to me, "Just go ahead." And I said, "Not a chance." I knew the first rule of doing that kind of thing is, don't lose anyone. School administrations tend to frown on class size reduction mid-lecture, understandably. But I think we can all see that as their leader, my place was the one who was with the one who was having the most trouble. Yet when we evaluate leaders, we like to see them out front, forging ahead, calling back for us all to follow. I tend to think we end up criticizing a leader who would accommodate flaws like those we find in ourselves. To substantiate this, I'll quote Marx. Groucho said, "I refuse to join any club that would have me for a member." Think about it. It's funny because it's something we can all hear ourselves saying, all the while recognizing it's very flawed thinking. We put up an obstacle, a stumbling block, between us, actually, and the rescue God would provide for us. Because in order to avail ourselves of God's help, we have to admit that we need it. In fact, life is filled with stumbling blocks. There are all sorts of ways you can get tripped up. We need to avoid these trouble areas because sin is destructive. When hatred builds into rage, destruction happens. When self-indulgence becomes my motivation for life, I harm and neglect the neighbor God commands me to love. The human dilemma is that while we are made in the image of God, we're also bruised and broken, bent towards what's harmful, not helpful, standing in the need of a Savior. Most of us who gather here this morning come because we've made the decision to give our lives to Jesus Christ, clinging to His promise to save us from both the consequences and the power of our sin. But therein lies the problem, because we can get tripped up too. I heard this week of a poll. When most Christians are asked what they think God thinks of them, they tend to answer, disappointed. God is disappointed with me. So having stumbled, we sit on the ground and wonder if it's worth getting up again. That's when we need to remember that when we find ourselves having stumbled, like the fellow in today's theme picture, the cover of your bulletin there, the fellow's obviously stumbled, we need to remember that you can only stumble when you're moving forward. It's a good sign in a way. Mary Lou read to us from Ezekiel, who's been trying to warn God's people of the dangers of disregarding the word and the ways of God. Talks about an idol, and Richard Keyes explains it this way. An idol is something within creation that is inflated to function as God. All sorts of things are potential idols, depending only on our attitudes and our actions toward them. Idolatry may not involve explicit denials of God's existence or character. It may well come in the form of an over-attachment to something that is in itself perfectly good. An idol can be a physical object, a property, a person, an activity, a role, an institution, a hope, an image, an idea, a pleasure, a hero. Anything that would substitute for God. Ezekiel says the Spirit of God revealed to him that these fellows who come forward under the guise of asking for God's guidance, in fact, have no interest in drawing close to God. They only want God to bless what they're going to do anyway. The Scripture describes these pretending to be religious fellows as putting up stumbling blocks for the people. This is the first meaning for stumbling block. We can stumble in our walk with God by deliberately presenting the opportunity for sin to others. The angry reaction Ezekiel has for these elders of Israel who ought to know better parallels with what we find in the New Testament. Jesus said, you'll remember, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung round their neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. At this point, I'm going to do something a little dangerous and speak about a particular stumbling block that's numbing an increasing portion of our young people. I'm talking of marijuana. Hansen's vote on the zoning bylaw for recreational marijuana retailers will be tomorrow night, Monday, May 6th, 7:30 p.m., Hansen Middle School. I know that other area towns have tried once to prohibit sales within their borders, but it's very evident that big money is behind this, because the vote that Hansen already took has been declared to be not enough. Two billionaires, George Soros, Sean Parker, have been pushing legalized marijuana and have spent $120 million of their own money contributing to those in government who would support this. There's a temptation to use legalized marijuana as a tax revenue source to lessen the burden on the average citizen. To me, that's making money off of others' misfortune. It breaks our heart to see young people lose their drive and ambition, lose their ability to hold a job, and to sink into the accelerating depression that comes with prolonged use of marijuana. The link to the increase of schizophrenia is also alarming. And I'm tired of our giving the excuse that we've not been able to prevent access to the drug, which is several times more toxic now than in previous generations. That's not reason to permit it. And I'm not arguing against the use of medical cannabinoids. If it's regulated like any other drug, with prescription guidelines as stringent as any other medicine. We've used an apathetic approach toward prevention of a major cause of apathy. Our country became great because of the drive to overcome hardship. Making marijuana easy to get is simply providing a stumbling block that leaves us deserving a millstone. Hanson residents, Monday, May 6, 7:30 p.m. at the Hanson Middle School. Others, let's do what we can. Enough said. There's another definition for stumbling block. We can stumble by being caught up in excessive legalism. We had a responsive reading toward this, some verses from Paul's 14th letter to the Romans. Today, he's dealing with some of the disagreements over minor matters that can bog people down. You know, I've seen so-called conservative Christians look down on anyone who ever attended a movie at a theater, and I've witnessed so-called progressive Christians look down on people who shopped in stores and chains that supported political causes they didn't agree with. One time, the Christian singer Amy Grant was facing some criticism. And she actually had a concert to do in the area, and she landed at Logan Airport, and a whole host of reporters met her there and bombarded her with accusations disguised as questions. We've all heard those. Amy stopped, smiled, stuck out her hand to the reporter closest to her, and she said, "Hi, I'm from the South. We usually introduce ourselves first." Start with relationships, not stumbling blocks. The Roman church was like many churches in cosmopolitan cities today. People come from varied backgrounds. Because of their upbringing, they ascribe meanings to things that seem to mean something else to an outsider. What Paul teaches them places the priority in a Christian church's life together on the love each believer has for other believers. He says, if you think something is all right that your Christian brother or sister finds objectionable, don't flaunt it in their face. Some things we can come to an agreement about. Dialogue and conversation are important, helping each other in the same way that iron sharpens iron. But some things we haven't solved. I'm working on something with a fellow who teaches at a Seventh-day Adventist college. They believe we should still worship on Saturdays, like the Jews do. I disagree. We don't draw swords and fight over. Let's not let minor disagreements on minor things create stumbling blocks for our fellow Christians. God tells us instead to be ready to lay down our lives for each other, as Jesus did. One of the sad stumbling blocks for American Christianity is that we've allowed ourselves to become divided by secondary matters. And I've often wondered if there would be fewer denominations if there were fewer automobiles. It's too easy for us to pick up our marbles and go somewhere else. Well, as I've said, there's more than one way to get tripped up in this world. It may surprise you to find that Jesus himself is one. Listen as I read 1 Corinthians 1:18-25. Is that the right one? Here we go. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks demand wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are being called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. In the New Testament, the word for stumbling block is the root for our word scandal. The cross is scandalous to Jew and Greek. They represent two different worldviews to the Jew or the legalist. The cross is scandalous because the sinner is forgiven instead of punishment. To the Greek, the cross is scandalous because the human problem is not solved by mere knowledge. Education is wonderful. It's not the answer to every problem. We can be tripped up by taking offense at how the Jesus way does not comply with the world's way of doing things. To write the Lord off because he forgives those whose sins you don't approve of and doesn't approve of the sins you do like is to stumble very badly on the life's path that is our opportunity to come to God. When Jesus told a group of angry men, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone," the older men went home first. As we mature, we become more aware of our shortcomings, our own moral mistakes. And throughout our lives, we will encounter stumbling blocks. And when we stumble, we should recognize that it means we were moving forward at the time. Of course, we don't just sit there and celebrate what we once were. Instead, we refuse to be discouraged. We rejoice that we have a Savior to help us get back on our feet again. By his strength to get up and get moving forward again. When Peter tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross, Jesus called him a stumbling block. A personified temptation to turn aside from the will of God. Jesus knew, and that is to say that God knows, that we could not make up for, cannot compensate adequately for the ways we have fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is, though, the good news, that we have a Savior who knows what he's getting. Have you ever accepted the gift of God? An essential mark of faith is that faith overcomes the stumbling block of Christ's saving work, God's saving work in Christ. David Berkowitz was a mass murderer who will not leave prison alive, but he's a new man inside the prison because he admitted he needed the Savior God has provided. Charles Colson was special counsel to the White House, a graduate of Brown University, yet the president of Raytheon Corporation helped him see that they both needed a Savior. Faith overcomes the stumbling block. In a previous century, was a man who bought and sold human beings. But a young woman helped him realize that it was separating him from God. John Newton sang, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest." Jesus, our Savior, leads from behind. He will not leave any who are his behind. And then that final slide. We need to remember that we can only stumble when we're moving forward. Jesus is there to help. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you knew what you were getting when you got us. Your love is amazing. That you can see the image of you that our disobedience has covered over. You see the good you placed within us. And you are at work within each one. Lord, if there's any who've been holding back from giving you their all, let this be the day. Jumping in with both feet. Thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us. Thank you that you are stronger than any obstacle, any hardship, any failing. Thank you that you are Lord of all eternity. We put ourselves in your hands. Help us, Lord, to bear good news to those you give us opportunities to greet, to meet, to cheer, to help. Help us to love with the love you loved us with. We ask it in your name.